What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I didn't spend a ton of time calculating these numbers before we started this podcast because it didn't take long, but this is a number which is intriguing. After 2,706 games, we're now down to maybe 7 to end the 2023-24 Stanley Cup playoffs. A full 82 games, by the way. That's a season. 82 games have been played in the playoffs already in 24. Panthers, the number one seed in the Atlantic, and the second seed in the Pacific, Edmonton. They will decide who will hoist Lord Stanley's mug. Welcome to Pucks in 7. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, down to the final series. Hopefully it'll go 7. We just want to see that. Pucks in 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Go to DamonBarber.ca, enter the code PUCKSIN7, and get 25% off your purchase. Again, DamonBarber.ca. Some great skin products also for maintaining a well-groomed beard, mastering a clean shave. It is all good. This will be an interesting pod only because in the next segment, you know, there's only one series to talk about, right? So we're just going to go into some rumors that are hitting the airwaves, I guess, in the next segment. So we'll dive into that off-season news in a sec. But yeah, let's begin. Why not? I think we should with the Stanley Cup Final. Down to 2, Vic, Florida, and the Edmonton Oilers.
I'm really excited. Like, I'm really super excited about this.
Me too.
I want to hype it a little bit because we are being treated to what could really unfold as an epic matchup for the ultimate trophy in the sport. The fact that we do have one of the best teams versus one of the, well, you know, the top two teams you could make an argument for in either conference. There is no Cinderella story here. I know people still want to, you know, unspool that narrative that maybe the Oilers are. I don't buy it when you have the two best players on the planet, or arguably the two best players on the planet. Then there's no Cinderella story here at all. This is a matchup I think a lot of us have been looking forward to. It doesn't matter what your predictions were going in. I had Dallas in 6. Happy to be wrong, and I've said that the entire time, because here we're now going to be treated to a returning team to the Stanley Cup final that could have won it last year, but are now healthy, Ryan, against the best player on the planet. Mm-hmm. If you have a pulse as a hockey fan, you are looking forward to watching Connor McDavid. Whether you're an Oilers fan or not, it doesn't matter. Even if you hate the Oilers, you are looking forward to watching the best player on the planet play for the
Cup. And he seems possessed. He really does. He seems, and he's not 100%. He may not even be 80%, may not even be 70%.
Doesn't matter.
But he is just, there's something about him and his game. If it is possible for him to elevate his game, he's elevated it on the biggest stage. It's so good to see the best player in the world finally get a chance to play in the Stanley Cup. And you mentioned the Panthers, how they're back to the Stanley Cup final this season, and how Edmonton is in the Stanley Cup final this season. This isn't like Edmonton kind of did what the Panthers did last year. They had a good run very late in the season, and they got in, and then they just caught lightning in a bottle. They beat Boston, and then off they went. This is a team that won 3 of the first 13 games, and then they went 46-18-5. So Edmonton has been, if not the best team in the league for, I don't even know how many games that is, 60-something games, I guess, 70-something games almost. So this isn't a team that's just backed in. And I think they weren't tested too much in round one by the Kings. 7 games with Vancouver in round 2, that was a test. Don't think they were tested against Dallas. I really don't.
I do until the last couple of games. But
yeah, I know we did this pod before, and I thought they should have. I didn't think it was optically as bad as some people did that Edmonton wasn't tough. I really didn't think that. Anyway, and the Florida Panthers, same thing. They have not been really tested whatsoever in this postseason run. Both teams coming off 6-game series wins. So many storylines. So if I'm going to throw, besides McDavid and Draisaitl, the advantages that Edmonton has going in, what would they be for you?
I would say that the Edmonton Oilers have the best top pair the best top pair on the blue line right now with Ekholm and Evan Bouchard. Mm-hmm. I think they, I mean, they're going to be tasked to play a lot. So I'm going to give that a slight advantage.
Yep.
Slight advantage to Edmonton. That Ekholm trade, I'm telling you, I know it's over a year ago now, but that I said at the time that
doesn't
was my
matter.
Favorite trade. It was my favorite trade in the trade deadline. There is absolutely no chance the Oilers are here right now without Matthias Ekholm on the blue line on that top pair. I'm going to say that with absolute confidence.
And so I think you can say there's no chance they'll be here without Evan Bouchard either.
Without him emerging the way he has, the way that those two have come together
in
the way
postseason.
That they played. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. But making that trade, I think, has just been, however you want to criticize Ken Holland to left, right, and center, and there's lots of reasons you can. But that move, signing Zach Hyman and trading for Ekholm, I think has been massive. So the advantage you said outside of McDavid and Draisaitl, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that Zach Hyman, once again, this is a guy who's gunning for a record of 19 postseason goals, which has never been done before. Well, the record is 19. He's looking to break it. He has 14. To have 14 goals in the postseason at this stage is just phenomenal. The way that he plays, his front of net presence has been something else that's going to be difficult for the Florida Panthers to figure out. I know they're a very physical team. I know they're built better to do it, but I think the Zach Hyman factor is also an advantage. And at that point, I mean, I'm really putting all my chips in on McDavid and Draisaitl and the fact that they're split up on two separate lines and Alexander Barkov can only focus on one of them at a time. He can't play that many minutes.
Yeah.
The fact that they have two of the best players split up, different lines, that to me, I know you said don't mention that part, but I think that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, I would say that Edmonton obviously has the advantage of having the best player in the National Hockey League. They also have the advantage on the power play. Their power play has been very, very good. It's funny, in the postseason, when you have a power play of 20%+, that's not that great. In the regular season, it's fantastic. If you can get above 20, that's great, but you play a limited amount of games. And Edmonton's, I think it's over 33%, something like that. The amount of ice time that McDavid and Draisaitl had, just want to throw this out quickly, against Dallas in the West Final. They were, the last game, in Game 6, McDavid was at 23-44, Draisaitl at 21-27. Outside of that, they're over 20 minutes, most of them. In Game 4, it was just under 20 minutes. Game 1, it was over 27 for McDavid. They play a ton of ice. They really do. But that's the key for the Edmonton Oilers, is that if they can still get going. Because no team's been able to stop them so far. I think
no
it's going
to
be a little
bit different. No team has been able to stop both of them. I do want to point something out about the power play they're on. Even though that their numbers overall are good this postseason, they were actually in a bad drought for the first start, for the start of that Dallas series. It wasn't until the final two games. They were 0 for something, which was something we hadn't been accustomed to throughout the postseason because their power play had been so dangerous.
And but they're still at 37.3% though.
But they didn't score any power play goals against the Stars until they did in game, I think it was 5, right? And then they came alive, and that's actually what determined the outcome. And we should also mention, in addition, let's keep on the special teams theme here. Their penalty kill was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, when do you get to say that? And this is such a run and gun team that we've talked about all season. We talked about their explosive offense and their creativity and their dynamic play in terms of production. And then all of a sudden they turned into a penalty killing machine.
Yeah.
Right? It's really quite something else. So I will say they have the special teams edge. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Okay. In the penalty kill, I think when your power plays are very good, you don't really look at the PK very much, but they've killed off 28 straight power plays since giving up a goal in Game 3. Two goals in the second round against Vancouver.
That was Vancouver.
Yeah,
and I don't
crazy.
Think they gave up any to the LA beforehand.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
93.9% efficiency on the penalty kill. Sounds like one of my marks in high school. Not really. The advantages for Florida, let me throw mine at you with this one. Number one, they have the advantage in goal. I don't think any question for anybody. Stuart Skinner, we talked about this last time. He came in the Final Four. It's the fourth best goalie out of the Final Four, with Shesterkin being one and Ottinger, and then Bobrovsky 1-2-3, and then you have Stuart Skinner. The numbers certainly aren't as good. Skinner is not as good as Bobrovsky. This is a key stat for me. And this will be interesting to see if Edmonton is able to create chances and put a lot more shots on Bobrovsky, unlike last season. In the 2023 playoffs, when he was dynamite. He's been great this year, but he was dynamite last season. He was tested a lot. He made at least 30 saves 9 times in 18 starts. So far in 2024, one game, with at least 30 saves in 17 starts. So the teams that Florida is playing, they're not getting shots through. Credit to the defense, credit to the defensive system that Paul Maurice is putting in, yes. But the point is, Bobrovsky hasn't been tested a lot. I mean, yeah, when you get 20, 25 shots a game, sure, but 35 or 40 shots, that's when the goalie really proves their worth. So if Edmonton can somehow find a way to keep peppering this guy with shots, get a ton through, he's not been sweating a whole lot. That's my point in all this.
He still looked pretty confident, though.
And of course he
still
does.
Has made some big saves.
Stopping those 20, 20-plus shots, he's been great. But the more shots you take, the better chance you have to go in. That's what I'm saying.
Well, of course. Yeah. I will still say, and I know that this is what you started with in the first place, Florida has the advantage between the pipes. I don't think there's much of a question
there. No,
because
there's no
question. Because we don't know, and this is actually not even a real knock against Stuart Skinner, who is actually spectacular in games 5 and 6 versus the Stars, and he's a major reason that we're even discussing an Oilers-Panthers Stanley Cup final. He was excellent. He was excellent. But we don't know which version of him we're going to see. We have a much better idea of the version of Bobrovsky we're going to see in this series because he has been far more consistent throughout the postseason and even to wrap the end of the regular season. He has been way more consistent. Whereas if Stuart Skinner plays like he did in game 5 and 6, fantastic. The Oilers are going to be in great shape. If he plays like some other games that he did this postseason against Vancouver, against Dallas, even against LA, where he has floundered. I mean, remember he got yanked at one point and was sat. So if that's a version and we're talking Pickard, right? Yep. That's going to be a whole different story. Absolutely. What's another advantage you think that Florida has?
Another advantage, I think, is Sam Bennett.
Yes.
He's an advantage. People can say, oh, Evander Kane's kind of like that type and on the other side, and Corey Perry as well, getting under your skin. But the way Sam Bennett's been playing, yes, he's been involved in controversial plays. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, he broke Brad Marchand, right?
Yeah, it is. And then a goal that was called, and it was the whole thing that we talked about at some point. But I just think he's one of those X factors. That yes, Barkov is fantastic. Sam Reinhart, Carter Verhaeghe, Brandon Montour on the back end, Alexander Matthew Tkachuk, Bobrovsky. They're all great. But when you can have a Bennett coming out and do what he does, I mean, the guy can create, he can finish, he can get under your skin. He is a Brad Marchand, I think, just a lot better now because Brad's a little bit older at this point in time.
He's so I would say too. That. Like he's more of a physical specimen.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
Yeah. So I would give, if you look kind of an X factor, I don't know who an X factor maybe would be for Edmonton. Maybe you can't, I don't know, but I would say that Bennett certainly is an advantage for the Panthers.
I'll jump off that and say Sam Bennett, he's a sneaky props pick for me, a long shot pick for the Conn Smythe, because we all know who the favorites are. Oh,
right.
I mean, the odds of him winning it are very, 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 very long.
Right.
But if you are looking forward to, you know, the $10, lay down the 10 bucks to make a whole whack of cash, he was my pick for that. Because if everything else equals itself out with Draisaitl and Barkov contains McDavid and the two goalies play fine, if he pots a game-winning goal here or there and he takes other players out of the play, then he could be a sneaky pick for voters to slide through. But I'll build on that even further and say the advantage, it's holistically to me in the Panthers' favor, just in terms of their depth. So we're talking about Sam Bennett on the second line who's playing with Matthew Tkachuk. That's the line that's going to be tasked with shutting down Leon Draisaitl. We already know that Alexander Barkov is going to be all over Connor McDavid, the same way he was all over Kucherov, the same way he was all over Pasternak, and the same way that he has shut down elite scoring players so far. Successfully. Right? So now you got to worry about Leon Draisaitl and his line with Evander Kane. And that's where you're looking at Sam Bennett. Now, here's the advantage for me going forward with the Panthers. That probably all comes out in the wash a little bit, and we'll see who does actually gain the advantage. Now you're looking at their bottom six. And that third line, Tarasenko and Anton Lundell. Who plays on the third line for the Oilers? I mean, we know who.
Yeah.
Ryan McLeod. Their depth, and I know we talked about this with Dallas and Edmonton too, and hey, Oilers won, but I'm looking at the depth right now for the Florida Panthers compared to the Oilers. This is nothing against Warren Fogle or Corey Perry or Ryan McLeod or any of those guys, but when I'm looking at, you know, the third line in particular on this team, and then you're getting into the fourth line with Stenlund and Oposono, but they play so few minutes. You're looking at that third line, and I think they have the advantage there.
They have a lot of depth, and they're very close in, I mean, both the teams, obviously Edmonton is scoring more in the postseason than the Florida Panthers, and you can go back and forth on all those statistics. I will say this, I've been reading some, well, a lot of people saying, oh, you know, is there an advantage that the Panthers played in the Stanley Cup final a season ago? And I don't think that's an advantage at all. And Chris Knobloch doesn't think so either, because when he was asked, he said, oh, you can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is, because they never won. They went to four straight. Sorry,
cheap,
Vic.
Cheap shot.
I'm just saying, was a really good line, because, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. Things have changed. That's my opinion.
I think that's horse crap, by the way. I think it absolutely makes a difference to have been there before.
Oh, because I don't think so. In this day and age, not a chance.
You know what to expect. It's always easier. When you take an exam, the first time you take your SATs or what some sort of big exam, you are absolutely shaking. You don't know what it's going to feel like. You don't know what the vibe is, media concentration, the fact that you have played so many games to get to this point. I think having done it before is massive. We talk all the time about having playoff experience and how much it matters.
I don't think it's massive. Yeah, I don't think so anymore.
I think it's huge. And the Florida Panthers, Knobloch can say whatever he wants. He has to say that. The Florida Panthers have said the exact opposite. Matthew Tkachuk just said the other day, it totally helps having done this last year.
Just because you're a Bills fan, and you didn't like that, you just take a breath, relax. It's okay.
Tkachuk said, not having a broken sternum helps, and having been here before.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. Potential broken records. You want to talk a bit about those?
One more note on death, and then let's move on.
Again,
we're matching up. I know I'm beating the drum here over and over and over again, but the depth on the blue line as well is in the Panthers' favor, because we were talking about top pairing of Ekholm and Bouchard on one side. Then you got the top pairing of Ekblad and Forsling on the other side. And They're elite. They could be game changers as well. You've got those top two pairs that I'm going to still give the edge to the Oilers, but they're pretty even, Stevens. But then you're going to look down the bottom four for the Panthers, and I'm not going to even get into Mikla and Kulikov and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're better. They're just stronger than the bottom four. Darnell Nurse, up until the last couple of games, has not had a good postseason.
Yeah.
Cody Ceci has not had a great postseason. Other defenders for the Oilers have not had great postseasons. But then you look at Ekman-Larsson has, right? So the Panthers still have the edge, to me, again, in that department.
Well, not just to you. The numbers back that up. The Panthers, in the high danger shots against New York, they had a ton of high danger shots. The point of this is that they limit high danger shots with the opposition, and they hold the opponents to 24.5 shots on goal per game.
Right.
So they play a very good, strong, defensively minded hockey game. So we'll see. Going to be fun. Hopefully it goes seven. And we'll give you our picks in a tiny bit. But anytime you get these final two teams, you just want to keep this thing going and going and going and going. Broken records.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Zach Hyman can do. And I understand that six goals is a lot. He has 14 so far. He needs six to break a record of 19 for the most postseason goals. The fact that it's even a conversation, we're talking about Zach Hyman, that many people were all over this in a negative way, the signing by Edmonton a couple of years back, and oh, you're paying him too much money, and now we're talking about somebody
I wasn't at all. I thought that was a fantastic signing.
I thought it was good value as well.
Yeah.
But and now we're talking 50 plus goals this season, and now we're talking about that. I don't think he breaks it. I think six goals against the Florida Panthers is a very large ask. Mm-hmm. But if it goes seven, I'd like it to be in the conversation, right? Like maybe he gets two or three in the first couple, three games, and we can at least talk about it. And again, anybody who isn't rooting for the Panthers or the Oilers wants this to go seven. I want to watch hockey on June 24th on Monday night. I want to watch a game seven before we look forward to the draft and free agency. I want this to go as long as it can. And I love winner take all. I know you do too. And it would be neat if you had four or five heading into that game and we could talk about it, because records are there to be broken. That's the design. So we'd love to see it.
Tickets, when they went on sale in Edmonton on Wednesday, they sold out in minutes. No surprise.
No!
That's fantastic. It's going to be awesome. It really is. Let's look at the schedule. So game one is on Saturday. First two in Florida, then the next two in Edmonton. So the first four are guaranteed. It's not going to be a sweep. So we're going to go through, and then they go back and forth 1-1-1. So game one's on Saturday. All these are 8 Eastern start times. Then you have game 2 on Monday. Then you wait a few days because of the travel. It's a hefty travel.
It is.
Thursday, June 13th, it's game 3. Then Saturday is game 4. Then you wait a few days again to go to Tuesday. Then you wait a few days to go to the 21st on Friday if game 6 is necessary. And then, to your point, June 24th on Monday if it goes to 7. So you have basically what, June 8th to the 24th. So in the next 16 days, we could have those 7 games being played.
I like the fact that this is drawn out. I understand the 3 days in between for travel, or the 2 full days, I should say, for travel, because you do need that. It's a long flight. It's like 7 hours.
It is a long flight, yeah.
I like this being stretched out. We're accustomed to waiting a couple weeks for a Super Bowl, man.
Which I think is ludicrous, by the way. Okay. I can't stand that.
Sure. But a week is fine.
Just because you're a Bills fan doesn't mean you still have to be angry when we talk football.
I didn't mind the break, the lead up to this, for several reasons. First of all, I love the fact that game 1 is launching on a Saturday night. I just think that's storybook.
Of course.
Okay. It's romantic. Yep. I'm here for it. I like the fact that they've had the days off, because what we were robbed of last year with Vegas and the Panthers were broken. Yep. And now the fact that, I mean, Evander Kane's been playing through a sports hernia, and he feels way better and can play now. Yeah. And I want to see the best against the best. They've had time to rest. I like the storytelling. I like discussing it. The hockey is going to be done soon enough, and we are going to be in the dog days of summer, July, August, and into September soon enough. Let's enjoy this. I love the fact that in the first 4 games, we have 2 Saturday matchups. I love the fact that we get to chew over every one of these games. And the last thing I love, Ryan, and you're not going to be surprised by this at all, and
Besides me, carry on.
Yes, besides, of course, but of
right.
course.
Thank you.
8 p.m. starts Eastern time.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I know they do this for the Stanley Cup final. This is not uncommon, but just when we've dealt with the 10:30 starts and the 10 o'clock starts Eastern, kids get to watch this. Old ladies like me get to watch this, who are up at the crack of ridiculous every morning. I get to watch this and enjoy it and not feel like a zombie the next day. I love this schedule. I'm all over it. Anybody who's whining about the travel, send me instead. I will go and report. I just have no time for any of this. No time for complaining about schedules or travel time. We are in for an epic, epic matchup, and it's going to be very enjoyable.
8 Eastern, game 1 on Saturday, which is, of course, tomorrow night. Okay, prediction time. Let's start with you. Panthers, Oilers, who and in how many games?
Florida's physicality takes over the edge and goal takeover. Their depth takeover. I have Florida in 6.
We agree for the first time in a little bit.
We're not on the Oilers?
No, because...
You had the Oilers the whole time.
No, I didn't. No, no, no. See, this is what everyone...
You did.
No, no, no. Everyone's confused with this. I had Edmonton going to the Cup final. I didn't have them winning the Cup final.
Oh.
I had them going.
Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Cup final.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to edit that out. We don't need to talk about who I had. Let's just talk about who I had representing one of the conferences. Everyone says, oh, you went, no, I said, no, I had Toronto and Edmonton going to the final. So I got one out of the two, but the Panthers, I don't have Edmonton winning. And it's not just because, even if the Panthers weren't playing, would I stick with the whole Eastern Conference team winning that I had in the beginning? I don't know, but I'm with you. I just think the Panthers are, Edmonton has McDavid. Yes. And they have weapons. That's fine. But the overall group with Florida, I just think it's deeper and stronger in the goaltending. And you're right. I don't think getting to the final and playing is a massive deal, but there is something to say about that, and they were there just last year. So, yeah, I have the Panthers in 6 as well.
And they have Alexander Barkov, and I think that's going to be the key figure. He's my Conn Smythe pick going into this.
Obviously, Edmonton is the underdog, but they've been underdogs. They were underdogs last series, and they ended up winning in 6, so you just never know. Going to be fun. 8 Eastern time on Saturday, game 1. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll go through some off-ice news, some players tiring, ones maybe going to be traded in the next few months. We'll see. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We will.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, welcome back to Pucks and 7. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Go to DamonBarber.ca, enter the code Pucks and 7, receive 25% off your purchase. Of course, we appreciate their support as this is brought to you by DamonBarber.ca, Damon Barber Canada. We went and dissected the Stanley Cup final. We'll do a quick wrap of it. at the end of this segment, but there's some off-ice news. Of course, there always is. It'll heat up a lot, I think, obviously, after the draft and free agency when the Stanley Cup final is done. Begin in Toronto. Why? Hey, we haven't talked about Toronto in a bit, even though I did talk about it at the end of the last segment, because everybody thinks I picked Edmonton to win the Cup, but I didn't. Mitch Marner. Should I stay or should I go? Should he stay? Should he go? Will he stay? Will he go?
It sounds like he wants to stay. Yeah. So the rumors we're hearing out of the draft combine was this week. And Pierre LeBrun said basically he spoke to Darren Ferris, who is Marner's agent, also Treliving, and even they're discussing. So it sounds like everything's on the table. He could be extended and stay with the Leafs. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he could be extended and traded. And it sounds like he could just play one more season and then hit the free agent market. So there is absolutely no definitive lean to this so far.
Yeah.
My only bid on it, and this is a very unpopular opinion when it comes to anybody who wants to invoke their no movement clause. This kicked in for Mitch Marner last July the 1st. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that. Certainly MLSE knew this. They knew last July 1st that Mitch Marner was going to have a no movement clause in his contract. They know that because they signed that contract in good faith.
Yeah.
So if you offer a player this clause in good faith, which they did with your eyes open, then you have to honor it without beating him up in the media otherwise for not wanting to waive it. Right? Mitch Marner is entitled to stay in Toronto for one last season.
Of course he is.
And if he chooses to do that, just like what Toronto went through with Matt Sundin several years back, maybe the Leafs fans aren't going to like it. It doesn't matter. That is his privilege and his right.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, anything a contract is. There is some rumblings that he has some, again, I get a lot of these things from Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period, who I do the hostile with, and he's as connected as anybody is, which is great. But he certainly has been saying different things that, you know, Marner's been discussing, hey, what teams maybe that he would be willing to go to, all that stuff. Here's my only thing with that. Anytime you have a star player like him, which he is, regardless of what people say about his lack of production, he's a star. He's very good. Anytime you have going into a final year of a contract, if you haven't re-signed him already, which now they haven't, and he's into the last year, and then July 1 comes next year, that he could test free agency. The trade deadline is also going to happen later on in the 24-25 season. If he's not in your blueprint going forward to continue to build the team into a cup winner, not a contender, a cup winner, then you need to find a way to get rid of him and trade him. You can't let him just walk for nothing.
What happens if he just says, I'm not going?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there, I don't envy the Leafs in this situation. Marner holds all the chips. And to your point, it's in his contract. He can do what he wants.
He deserves to. So yeah. I still think generally human nature, and you and I have talked about this in the past, we don't like to stay where we're not wanted. So if it is clear the writing's on the wall for Mitch Marner, as much as he likes playing in Toronto, as much as he likes playing with Austin Matthews and they're really tight and he has other friends on the team and he loves the region, he's from the area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As much as he appreciates all of that, it is very difficult to stay where you're not wanted somewhere. And if that's made perfectly clear, which it will be if that's the road that they take and they can find another landing spot that he likes well enough.
So if he does stay, and then we'll move on to other things, if he does stay, then that new contract is not going to be more than Matthews at 13.35. It won't be south of Nylander 11.5. So there's a 1.75 gap between 11.5 and 13.35. So he'll want something between that. He'll want 12, 12 and a half, 13, something like that.
Do you see him? Do you see him staying?
No, I
can't
don't.
I can't conceive of it.
No, I don't.
I don't understand how they can make it work. Just like mathematically, he's an excellent player. He's a star.
Yeah, it's,
but
it's
I don't
much.
See how math. If you're going to keep Nylander and Matthews, which is a priority, I don't see how you can make it happen.
And they're not going to get rid of those two because they just signed them to extensions.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I mean, you can always trade them, but yes, I understand.
Yeah, it's
what
not
going to
happen. Two things quickly with the Leafs, then we'll move on. I think really they should go after Max Domi and re-sign him to not just a one-year deal, to sign him for what I think is a very integral part of the team. He played very well in the postseason, very slow start. But then remember when Matthews got hurt and some other star guys got hurt on that team, he was bumped up to the first line and he just played very, very well. It's like, hey, Max, you've got some good talent. I'd love to see him back. I'd love to see Bertuzzi back, and they've started contract talks with him as well.
There's no way that either one of them is going to sign a one-year deal again. That was very strange COVID-driven flat cap situation. They wanted to market themselves. It was nice to see them both blossom and become stronger and really fit in and develop more chemistry within the lineup as the season wore on, because it really, the first like 4 or 5 months were not pretty, Ryan, not at all. Yep. But they both ended with a bang. I can't see the Leafs re-signing both of them. Of the two, who do you think is the priority?
Bertuzzi.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Domi, again, he's got the tie to Toronto.
Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
That was really good, actually. You know what?
Thank you.
I tip my cap to that one. He's got
the tie. I appreciate that.
To
You're not wearing a cap, so don't lie to me. I'm
my
kidding.
Proverbial cap.
Right. Getting heated. I'm glad this is only two segments. I would say Bertuzzi, I think that he brings a bit more. He can bring what Domi can. He brings but to your point, he certainly played a lot better in the last half of the season than he did in the first half. You, I think, would go with Domi based on
the
reaction.
Yeah, I'm going to take the centerman. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like his lack of consistency, but when Max Domi is very good, his versatility with being able to play on the wing, to play at center, to kill penalties, to play on the power play. And Bertuzzi, I know they're different players, right?
Yeah.
They're both scrappy too. So you're going to get that little bit of peppercorn with both of them. But I would target Domi first.
Winnipeg Jets, of course, Rick Bowness retired. They didn't do what they certainly wanted to do in the postseason. They lost in round one to Colorado. So now you look forward to not just 24-25, but 25-26. Nick Ehlers, 1 year left. He's 28. So he will go after 24-25 at $6 million into free agency if that is the route that he's going to take. And it looks like he may be taking that route.
According to the aforementioned Dave Papagnotta, and again, he has great insight, it sounds like Ehlers wants out of Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Which I find a little bit interesting because it seems like this team turned a corner last year with the signings, new coaching. Now, maybe the fact that Rick Bowness isn't coaching anymore is a bit of an issue. Nick Ehlers is one of the funniest players to me in the league in the sense that, okay, how many 30-goal seasons do you think he has?
How many 30-goal seasons do I think he has?
He has zero.
You're putting me on the clock.
He has zero. He has zero.
Okay, zero.
Just answer
zero.
Right,
you didn't let me finish. None.
Okay, you got it correct.
Right.
But he has flirted with it.
Yeah.
He has flirted with that number. But so many times, he has 28 in one 62-game season. So conceivably, if he played the other 20 games or close to it, he's just one of those players that is just always verged on being good, very good, but not crushing the threshold. I was trying to make up two different words there. Not crossing.
It's the Mattyism. It's okay. Go ahead.
Not crushing the threshold makes absolutely zero sense. But it's just always one of those guys who's a first-round pick. He was a top 10 draft pick for Winnipeg and just never quite, even after 9-10 seasons, however long he's been there, never quite been that guy. It'd be interesting if he can do something a little bit different. I don't think so. He's 28. He's going to be 29 next February.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe we've already seen what we're going to get from the guy.
So I'm glad you put this in the lineup because I love talking about John Gibson. We even talked about him in a bit because of the playoffs, but I'm really glad you put this in because the fact he is still with Anaheim is one of the biggest. There's big mysteries in the world that you just can't make sense. And you know, I love the unsolved kind of thing. This one keeps me up at night.
Right up there with Stonehenge.
Absolutely. Should I think about Gibson or should I think about Stonehenge tonight? Let's go Gibson.
How are those pyramids built? Yeah, how did they make that happen? And why is John Gibson still in Anaheim?
Can you just find a way to trade him?
Okay.
Not just find a way, just do it. Because there's teams that need a goalie.
Desperately.
He's a very good goalie on a bad team. He gets peppered all the time with shots. He plays so many minutes. If you put him behind a team that's good, he would be he'd be in the Vezina Trophy conversation easy. That's how
you
much I think
of the
guy.
You have far more faith in his abilities than I did.
I do because you can't. How much faith can you have in somebody when you play with the Ducks? You can't.
I think he's a good goaltender. I don't think he's an elite goaltender.
Because he's not been playing with an elite team. What about Igor Shesterkin?
I watched him in junior a lot. I don't know. I think he's a good goaltender. I think he's a good goaltender, and I think teams are going to want to have him. Like, there's no question the New Jersey Devils are absolutely on the phone constantly. And hey, we should say Anaheim is taking calls on him and Trevor Zegras.
Right.
So the fact is, we are actually looking at something moving forward here. I think John Gibson is finally going to be at the point that when he says, you know what, I love the California weather, man. It's beautiful down here in January compared to, say, New Jersey or Philadelphia or another team that might be interested in a goaltender. So absolutely. But he's also, he can see the clock and he can see the time, you know, the hands on the, or should I say, sands through the hourglass.
Oh.
these are the days of your NHL, your life. you've got to make a move now, because before you know it, you're going to be 36. The ship will have sailed. You're going to be some backup somewhere. And who knows what happens with that case. Right now, you still have starting star potential. And you can join a team and help them at least play in the playoffs, for crying out loud, and enjoy some success to that degree, and not play for a team that still is in the beginning stages of a rebuild that's going to take
absolutely.
Some time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and he has a cap hit of 6.4 through 26-27.
Let me ask you, October, is he playing for a different team? Or is he still with the Ducks?
I'm going to probably say he'll stay with Anaheim, because nobody listens to me out there anyway. And we'll be talking about this again. We'll be going to the trade deadline. Can somebody just trade? Can you, Pat Verbeek? It's easy. Like, honestly, it's easy. You get a lot back for him.
I love your negativity with this. You're such a dark cloud.
Give the guy another opportunity with a better team.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think he is. I think he's somewhere else. I think the market for good, competent goaltending is voracious right now, and there are good teams that have bad goalies, and I think they're going to offer Anaheim. It's one team out there is going to offer Anaheim what they want, and they're going to make this happen. I do say he has played his last game for the Ducks.
But why do you say the Devils need a goalie?
Because the Devils need a goalie.
I'm kidding. I'm
joking. Okay. No. Oh my gosh. You know, you really scared me. Right,
I know, because you just went white.
I was like,
you blanked out on me so much.
Do I have to explain to Ryan the goaltending situation and the fact that Tom Fitzgerald says we really need a goaltender?
I know. That's why I said it. Just seeing if you were on your toes.
Yeah. All right.
Quickly again, Dave Pagnotta doing his great work as always. The Seattle Kraken have been getting trade calls this offseason for Shane Wright. You and I are very high on Shane Wright.
That's weird. This is just weird to me.
Yeah, I was very high on him, and I always have been. I really have been. I think there's something to him, and he just needs an opportunity, but he's not getting an opportunity. If they're getting trade calls, if the package is right, I would trade him in a heartbeat for this reason. Not because that he won that Seattle wouldn't benefit from him playing well and he doesn't have the talent, but he needs a different, he needs a change. He needs a change of scenery. He reminds me kind of, and they were taking the same draft, your Ice Slavkovsky, who was, the last half of this last season, he did better, but I thought, oh, you know, it's just like, what is going on with him? He's got the talent. Is he on the wrong team? He's proven that I think he's on a good team now, at least for him with Slavkovsky. But I think Shane Wright needs a new address. I really do. And I think that would be the best thing for him.
I might have agreed with you before the last few months of this past season when he finally got the opportunity and he was called up to play the final eight games with the Kraken, scored four goals. And he wasn't buried anymore on the fourth line, which is the way that they first addressed him. And that was the first role he was given right off the get-go when he first entered the league after he was drafted. I think it was fourth overall just in 2022. So the fact that they gave him an opportunity to play in the top six, to contribute differently, I'd still like to see what this kid is capable of. And he is a child. He's 20 years old. I mean, that's a child. Yeah. And I love your Slavkovsky comparison because he was getting slammed left, right, and center by, you know, fans of the Bleu, Blanc, et Rouge. Because
have taken him number one overall?
We could have taken this guy. We could have taken this guy. We couldn't take this guy. And Slavkovsky came and showed everybody why the Canadians playing on the top line, he had an explosive campaign.
Yeah.
And he's going to be an absolute cornerstone of that top unit for years to come. And they've got a great hockey player there. So let's give Shane Wright an opportunity now. Of course, if another team is throwing, you know, a treasure chest at the Kraken for this guy, you're obviously going to at least have the conversation.
You find a key and you open it up. Absolutely, you do.
You have to. So,
no surprise with this. Joe Pavelski is hanging them up. His career speaks for itself, but he's deciding enough's enough. And he hinted, he did say at 23-24 that it was probably going to be his last season. And after Dallas was knocked out by Edmonton in those six games, he is walking away after 18 seasons, he said, this is it for me.
I still wonder, once the disappointment, because he just discussed this the other day, literally, it felt like minutes after the Dallas Stars were kicked out of the postseason. I think he thought they had a real legitimate chance to win the cup, which they absolutely did. That certainly wasn't a fanciful thought. Once it comes back down, I do wonder if he's going to give it a rethink. I know what he said, but he was less effective during the postseason, still to my surprise, but he was still a very good hockey player. He wasn't Joe Pavelski of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years ago this season, but he was still rather effective. I know he's 40 years old in 5 minutes. Not quite there, but he's getting there. I do wonder if he sits back, because this guy to me, Ryan, is just such a hockey player. He's not Jágr level in terms like he will die on the ice, but he's just such a hockey player to me. So it's interesting if he does. I know he's saying this, but he hasn't retired and he hasn't made an official statement.
No.
I'm just going to say, give it, Joe, take 2, 3, 4, leave it to July.
Yeah.
Think about it. And if you want to sign another deal for, you know, a mil and just join the Dallas Stars, who are going to be in excellent shape again going forward. I don't think he would go anywhere else. Absolutely not. But just that's where they are right now. We will see. If not, though, and this is it, what a career.
Yeah,
not quite Hall of Fame, but really close.
I'm gonna go with this, that I don't think Pavelski, I don't know him at all, but I don't think he's somebody that will say this is it and then retract that. Although he didn't officially announce his retirement, then he will come back and say, you know what, no, I'm going to give it a shot. 67 points, though, nothing wrong with that at 39. 27 goals, nothing wrong with that. Maybe what you said about he did it right after Dallas was eliminated, it's one thing to put up goals and points on the ice through an 82-game season. It's another thing to go through the grind of the postseason. And he's almost going to be 40. You're right. So anyway, heck of a career. Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay.
Not far from it, and probably maybe in a conversation. I don't think it's a ridiculous conversation, but I don't think he's quite there. No.
Okay, so Utah, their names have been, what, down to 6 now. And Smith Entertainment Group announcing Thursday. Again, we should preface this. I think everybody knows this. It's Friday, June 7th that we're doing this.
Right.
So here are the choices. The Utah Blizzard, the Mammoth, the Outlaws, the Venom, the Yeti, and Utah Hockey Club, or Utah HC.
Give me your top two.
I've always been a fan of the Yeti. That's a big one for me. I like the Yeti, or if need be, the Utah Hockey Club.
I don't want the Utah Hockey Club because they don't play soccer in a third league division in England. I don't like the Venom. I don't like Outlaws. A little bit too old-timey to me. But if you leave me with Yeti or Mammoth,
you're okay.
I'm okay.
All right.
I don't mind Blizzard, but to me, we're based in Toronto, and the Blizzard was a soccer team that we used to have.
Yeah, and I also think of the thing you get at Dairy Queen when I think about that.
You know, you're right.
So that doesn't, no.
Yeah, we, they're
not. You didn't think about that before, did you?
Now I won't stop thinking about
it. I know.
It. That's the only thing I'm going to think about, because I was thinking of the Toronto Blizzard, the soccer team from when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
That to me, I don't mind Blizzard, but also I know Salt Lake City, they get snow. I understand all of that. Nobody needs to, you know, DM me and tell me about the climate. But at the same time, I mean, they're not in the Arctic either. So I like the Mammoth. I like the Yeti. It's a little bit interesting. As long as it's not Mammoths, because nobody's going to be able to say that.
Agreed.
And so long as it's not Yetis, because that sounds really stupid. So those are the two that I'm fine with. The Hockey Club one, Ryan. Jeez.
I'm saying that because I didn't like the other ones. You asked me for two.
Okay.
That's why I said that.
I will say, but so you're all over Yeti then. We'll say
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all over Yeti. Yeah.
We do have to congratulate the fan base in Salt Lake City, well, in Utah in general, because they have already exceeded 35K in season ticket deposits, or in ticket deposits, I should say. So there's absolutely, this reminds you of Winnipeg when they said, okay, Winnipeg fans, we're throwing it out there. We need an investment for this team to come here. And they absolutely surpassed expectations immediately. I wrote an article about that, actually. And I always remember how happy I was to write it for Winnipeg Jets fans. The fact that they exceeded expectations already is a very good sign for the interest that there is going to be in this club going forward.
And do you know how much the deposit was for those tickets? $100
How much?
$100 I'd put down a deposit.
I would too, but if you're not getting it back, I mean, it's still money, right? $100 is $100. It's still,
I know,
the fact
but
that
for
it's
a deposit, I would think it was a bit more than
I
that,
think you're anyway. Raining on the parade here a little bit. It doesn't
I'm not.
Matter.
I think it's fine. I don't rain on anyone's parade. Mm. Just call them the Yeti. This is going to be fun. Two more things to get to. The NHL's announced the Amazon Prime docuseries. Doesn't have a title yet, but this is a series that's going to premiere in the fall. And according to Thursday's announcement, quote, it promises unprecedented access to life in the NHL. Connor McDavid will be featured, Leon Draisaitl, Matthew Tkachuk, Jeremy Swayman, David Pastrnak, William Nylander, Jack Eichel, Philip Forsberg, Gabriel Landeskog, Quinn Hughes, the list goes on and on and on. I think this is going to be awesome.
We have been promised and given some offers of versions of this in the past that have fallen a little flat. Why I'm really excited about this version of it, it's being done by the same people who are behind Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
I've watched Drive to Survive. You don't have to care about F1 racing to find that series absolutely fascinating. It is so full of drama and intrigue. There's storytelling. There's conflict. There's everything.
Yeah, and
it's
in
like,
that
it's
one,
so Shakespearean, man. Like, no, it is incredible.
And there's something, there's one of those things around every turn.
Oh, fair. Whoa, two in one podcast.
I know. I
okay.
Know. Carry on
gotta,
before I finish.
You got to quit right now while you're
there. Breathe.
Anybody who's watched Drive to Survive, even if you
awesome.
Don't care about car racing, it doesn't matter. And it has created more races. I watch car racing anyways, but I've spoken to many fans who did not watch it previously, but then became invested, especially in the personalities. That's what we need more of in the NHL. So we watch this and we're like, wow, there's some spice. Those two can't stand each other. Yeah. Oh, he's fighting with, that's what he eats for breakfast. Who cares? It's interesting. We want to know these people. So the fact that this is the team behind this, that makes me very excited. I can't wait for the fall, and I think it's going to be super interesting. Apparently they're still working on it, because whoever wins the Stanley Cup
final
is going to be a part of it as well. So still a work in progress.
You had to get the support of the league and the players and the coaches too, right, to do something like that, and they did. Full 100% support from everybody
involved.
Gary Bettman
watched Drive to Survive and saw the numbers absolutely skyrocket in terms of interest in that sport, and Gary Bettman is a very smart person, and he went, right, we can do this too, and then I think it's going to make a huge difference, and it's not going to attract us to the sport. We already watch every single game, but it's going to attract other fans who are going to find it interesting because, again, they're going to get to know the people involved.
It's always fun. You see them on the ice, but hey, what are these guys like? What are these women like and whatever in certain leagues? Okay, last one. We're going to wrap quickly on the Stanley Cup final again. McDavid and Draisaitl and Tkachuk, they're going to be part of this series coming up in the fall featured. So we're going to see whoever wins the cup, they're going to be obviously featured in that. We're going to see the outcome of all that. Okay, so we picked Florida and six, each of us. Your
without
keys again.
Without consulting with one another.
Without consulting with, yeah, exactly.
Picks.
So your keys again for the Panthers to win and the Oilers to, I'm going to say it, upset Florida.
I'll just do a quick summary. If Alexander Barkov can shut down McDavid and that second line of Matthew Tkachuk can shut down Leon Draisaitl, I think that's going to be a big edge. And unless Stuart Skinner stands on his head, I'll also give the edge in goaltending and a slight edge to the overall makeup of the bottom six. I think the depth for Florida is just going to be, but they do have to shut down the two superstars in those top two lines. So we'll see how effective they are.
And as I said, you off the top of this podcast, McDavid is just possessed. He's just looks like he is now. Everybody wants the cup, but how he's been playing and
he's
who knows how the body is.
He's going to play 26 minutes a game, man. Like, I'm not even talking overtime contests. Yeah. He's going to be out there as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants this more than anybody wants anything ever.
Sometimes you get one shot at this, right? Sometimes you get, and what did Tyler Seguin say? When he was eliminated, he said, man, this game's tough, right? He said, cup's hard to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's telling. It's tough. I'll go with you. Yeah. The Panthers, I just think depth-wise, they do have the edge in goal. But, you know, I'm not going to say that Edmonton is riding this wave. Because, again, when we began this podcast, it's not like Edmonton all of a sudden had 2-3 weeks of great hockey down the stretch toward game 82. They were fantastic since they made that coaching change. But they still are the underdogs here. And what they've done is they've proven they can, I mean, they beat the Kings. They proved they could come back and beat Vancouver, top team. And then they proved they can beat Dallas. So who's to say they can't prove they can beat Florida? We'll find out.
Hey,
starting tomorrow.
Drake hopes you're right. So
oh, yeah, go ahead.
Artist
I forgot
Drake
that. Go ahead.
Laid down a cool $500,000 on the Oilers winning this series. So he's putting his Canadian dollars where his Canadian mouth is. And I suppose there's something to be said for that.
And with that, we wrap.
Oh, you're on fire today.
I know. Yeah. Things happen in threes, Vic. Things happen in threes.
You're never topping this one.
No,
never.
I'm not. Yep, that's why this is our last one.
It's not.
Enjoy
it's not.
Game
it's
one
not.
Saturday, 8 Eastern time, and we'll be back. Maybe our first couple games, whenever it is, early next week. We'll recap what is going on so far in the Stanley Cup Finals. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. We're also on the SiriusXM app, and log on to DaneLeBarber.ca right now for your chance to get 25% off their fantastic products. We will talk to you next time.
Pucks and Seven, brought to you by DaneLeBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.